I just found such a passion in finding healing for my skin and wanting to help other people too. And a lot of my friends started coming to me and asking me, you know, what I was doing and tips and tricks. And it grew in me this passion to want to help people who are going through the same sort of journey.
This is the Alchemized Life podcast, and I am your host, Ava Johanna, a woman on a mission to bring wellness to the world. This podcast was created to bridge the gap for anyone craving more love, health, and happiness in each and every day. And with every episode, you will receive practical guidance to create magic in your own life. Combining the expertise of wellness visionaries and thought leaders, each week we will bring it back to basics and provide you with the tools meant to empower you to thrive emotionally, physically, and spiritually. So together, let's ditch the mean girl, you can't sit with us vibes, grab your favorite yoga pants, and start to find your uniquely alchemized life. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Alchemized Life podcast. Today's a good day because it's Monday and because I decided that it was going to be a good day. And I wanted to start out by saying that because as we finish up 2018, which is just so insane. I actually remember this time last year so vividly. So I just feel like time is moving so quickly. I wanted to invite everybody that listens to the Alchemized Life podcast to be a little bit more mindful about the way in which we are showing up in the world as we transform into this new year and take on that energy of starting again. I had an interesting conversation with a friend the other day just about our words and our thoughts and how they directly impact and are correlated with how we feel in the body. And as a breathwork teacher, this is something that I teach all the time because when you are breathing slowly and fully using the entire capacity of your lungs, usually that means that you're not feeling as stressed out and that you are thinking thoughts that support this grace and this ease. On the other hand, if you are breathing really shallow, just breathing into the chest, maybe you feel a little bit of a tightness in the chest and your thoughts are a little bit frantic. Usually that's a sign of anxiety. So I invite you right now just to actually close your eyes, unless you're driving, you don't have to close your eyes. Just notice where you're breathing into. Are you breathing into your chest? Are you breathing deep into your belly? The reason why we do this is because when we notice the way in which we're breathing, we can also see directly how we are feeling, what thoughts are moving through our head, what emotions are filling our body, and just how we feel. So again, I invite you guys, as we finish up this year, because it's going to fly by so fast, to just start to make those tiny little shifts. Notice the words that you speak. Notice if you're saying things like, I can't, or I don't know, or saying sorry and apologizing for your existence. We've gone over that before. But just the power of your words and how your words actually make you feel. Are you empowering yourself or are you making yourself feel like a victim? Just food for thought today. So let's get into today's episode. Today's guest is Monica Watson, who is, I want to say, like the simple skincare queen. Her skincare line is called Berlin Skin. And I first met Monica during an event last year where she shared her story of struggling with cystic acne and a ton of skin problems and gut problems and how she healed her skin by essentially getting rid of all of the shit, all of the busyness, all of the recommendations that she was seeing in magazines, online, basically all of the noise that we always are inundated with as to how we are supposed to treat our skin, what products we're supposed to use. She actually went back to basics when her grandmother told her to just keep it simple. So her story is really, really interesting because it's all about simple skincare. And I love that because, like I said, we are inundated with noise constantly about this next new product that we're supposed to use. And it can just get confusing. And as somebody that struggles with cystic acne, I think it's really important that we, rather than look on adding in all of these different products and routines, that we just kind of take it back to basics, because your skin doesn't need much. It's really about the foods that you eat and the way that you feel that directly is shown on your skin, which is your biggest organ. So in this episode, we of course talk all about skincare, Monica's favorite products, as well as her daily routine. The Berlin Skin line is actually only 5 products, and I absolutely love all of them. It's all natural ingredients, all organic. So you guys are really going to like hearing about it. She talks all about how she keeps her skin glowing, miracle ingredients that come with achieving youthful skin, and how to heal acne when you have no idea what to do anymore. I think that so many of us, you know, we try so many things with acne and we feel really low and like we'll never be able to figure this out sometimes. I know that I did for so long. And so it's really nice to hear from somebody that has struggled with acne and now has this beautiful glowing and glistening skin. It's such a good episode. So if you guys are enjoying this episode, it would mean the world to me if you are to subscribe, rate, or review the episode on iTunes. It helps to get this podcast out to even more people, help us to get up on the list, and just so we can grow and share this information with as many people as possible. And then, as always, we love to be shared. So if you take a screenshot, tag me at Ava Johanna and Monica at Berlin Skin. So without further ado, let's jump into today's episode all about skincare. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Alchemized Life podcast. I am beyond excited and so grateful today to be sitting here with Monica Watson, who is the founder of Berlin Skin, to talk about so many different skin issues, skin goals, and just overall how to have the most optimal, beautiful, radiant skin. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited.
So for those of you that don't know you, give us a little bit of background about how you grew to develop Berlin Skin.
Sure. I never thought that I would have my own skincare line someday. So if you were to have told me 10 years ago that Berlin Skin was a thing and my little business, I probably wouldn't have believed you. But I, in my early 20s, really started to develop skin issues, particularly acne and the really bad kinds, so like cystic acne. And from that, it was like years of frustration and trying to figure out my skin. And I'm someone who, you know, if there's an issue in my life, I will fight to figure it out until I find the solution and the answers that I need. And so when it came to my skin, that was no exception. And I kind of, you know, started out doing all the traditional methods, like seeing the dermatologist and trying to get answers that way. And basically tried every product and remedy on the planet to try and heal my skin. And so this was a journey of like 2 or 3 years. I had had great skin most of my life. I have pretty good genes. Both of my grandmas and my mom, they all have beautiful skin. And so it was a shock when my skin started to freak out and I didn't know what was going on. And I really found, long story short, a lot of healing in my skin when I started to simplify things. So there was a couple of things that happened. One was this eye-opening conversation with my grandma, who had taught me my whole life to just really keep things simple when it came to taking care of my skin. So it was that conversation, and then also just taking a hard look at what was in this huge box in my bathroom closet, just full of products that I had tried over the years and I was still struggling. And so it was this combination of topically simplifying what I was using on my skin and then also healing my body internally. And that solution was really powerful for me. And from there, I just found such a passion in finding healing for my skin and wanting to help other people too. And a lot of my friends started coming to me and asking me, you know, what I was doing and tips and tricks. And it grew in me this passion to want to help people who are going through the same sort of journey. And so that's a little bit about my background and how Berlin Skin came to be. And we just celebrated 3 years in this past August. Yeah. And it's just been this awesome journey. I've met so many incredible people along the way, and we've expanded our line a little bit. And I'm just really hopeful for the future and like all the new things that we're going to do. But it's been really, really fun up until this point.
That's such an awesome experience, because I think that so many of us think that we need to add so many products to clear our skin. And there's so much noise out there about what we should be using and different treatments and that kind of thing. And for me, I know when we had first met, I was like, yeah, I have so many products. It's so nice to hear that you just need to simplify. And I actually went and got a treatment in LA like 2 weeks ago. And she was like, no, like, all you should be doing is washing your face, icing your face, and then put a moisturizer on afterwards if you want to. She's like, if you want to use your toner, do that too. But you don't need to like have 10 steps in your skincare routine in the morning and night. It's just too much. So it's really cool to like keep getting that reaffirmed that like we just need to simplify it. And your product, I love your product so much. The sandalwood cream is, it smells so good. And I love the toner as well. So you mentioned that you've expanded your line, but you only have 5 products in your line, which is really cool because they're very powerful either on their own or all together. So why did you choose to keep just the 5 products?
Yeah, well, I love that, first of all. And I love that more people are talking about simplifying the routines. I mean, really, what I was sort of doing wrong was not giving my skin enough room to breathe. And I was confusing it with a lot of harsh products, which I'm sure we'll get into later in the conversation. But yeah, we initially came out with just 3 products. There was a cleanser, a toner, and our just facial cream, our sandalwood cream, which is still part of the line now. And since then, we've come out with an eye butter, which is a more hydrating moisturizer that you can use around your eyes and then other dry areas of the face and neck. And it can also be mixed with the sandalwood cream too. So it's kind of multi-use in that way. And then we also came out with a body oil as well about a year ago, which has been awesome just because I wanted to have something for the body that was hydrating, but not too, you know, greasy or anything. So, but that really are, those are the staples for the line. My whole philosophy is that if you're using the right products with the right ingredients, you only need a few.
Yeah, I think that that's super powerful. And so you mentioned, you know, you just needed your skin to breathe. What, when you were struggling with your skin issues, what were the things that you were doing wrong that someone else might be doing wrong? And how did you end up like first starting to fix them?
Sure. Well, I'll share a little bit of what was happening with my skin and in my body, but I'll start with a disclaimer. Everyone's body and skin is different. And so my issues might be similar to someone else's, but there might be something entirely else going on. And so I really recommend that people, along with, you know, using topical products in your skin and eating healthy and working out and all the things we know we should be doing, if there really are, you know, bad issues that are happening with their skin, usually there's also something happening internally. And so I always encourage people to work with like a natural, ideally health practitioner. And that was big for me. Especially even acupuncture was awesome for me as well. And something that I still do today. So just really, you know, knowing your body, listening to your body, understanding what's going on, and then having someone who can kind of help you figure it out would be my first recommendation. And then for, you know, to share a little bit about what I was doing wrong when I was younger, it pretty much just came down to fixing my digestive problems and then balancing my hormones. And, you know, when you have it so good with your skin for so many years and then all of a sudden it gets bad, right? All of a sudden, you have no idea where to start. And that's where I really started diving into research. And, you know, Berlin skin didn't happen overnight. It really was years of conversations and research and figuring things out. And so it's not just this product line that I had, you know, an idea one day. It really was like born out of my journey. So it takes a while. Like, you probably aren't going to figure out, you know, where your skin issues are sprouting from right away. But I would just encourage people to not give up, because it's so exciting when you do figure it out. But to answer your question, for me specifically, it was balancing my hormones. So there's some great supplements that I take, like Vitex Berry, that can be awesome for balancing hormones. There's teas out there. And that's huge for a lot of women who are specifically struggling with breakouts. So that's something that I would look into if your skin is breaking out, is really just, you know, normalizing your hormones. And then digestion as well, like your skin is going to be a direct reflection of what's happening with your digestion. And so I was at the time having a ton of digestive issues. And so, you know, adding in like a probiotic was really big for me. Avoiding certain foods and like sticking to a really great diet that was helping to normalize my digestion. Those were two things that were really big for me. And so that in combination with just using like the right topical products was the solution for me.
So you mentioned avoiding certain foods. Can you share what those foods were for you?
Basically, it comes down to dairy. If you have, and I'm sure you've heard this before, but if your skin is breaking out, that would be the number one. And then there can be other things like you may have like a gluten sensitivity. I have a little bit of one, so I try and, you know, avoid gluten when I can, or when I feel like, you know, my digestion is a little bit flared up. And then, you know, just the foods that we know to stay away from in general, like sugar, is a big one as well.
Yeah, I was just up in Canada and my dad loves his cheese and I love cheese too, but I usually don't eat it or buy it at home. So it was really hard to avoid cheese when I was with him, and I was with him for 10 days. So it was like, okay, well, this is going to be the one time a year when you eat cheese. And I just like, I'm still paying for it. And it was like 3.5 weeks ago and I'm like, okay, I'm not doing that again. So, I mean, your skin is so radiant. I know that you're glowing because you're pregnant too, but now, are there certain supplements that you're taking or teas that you're drinking in order to have that radiant skin?
Yeah. So actually becoming pregnant, just with, I do have more oily skin. I am more prone to breakouts still. It was something that I was a little bit afraid of, but I've been pleasantly surprised. There haven't been like a ton of issues. And so a couple things that I've been doing is, well, one, taking like a very natural food-based prenatal, which has awesome like fruits and vegetables in it. So that's been good, but that's sort of more like a pregnancy focused thing. But something that I've discovered is raspberry leaf tea. And that has been awesome for just kind of keeping everything level in my body while being pregnant. But actually any woman should be drinking this. I didn't discover it until I became pregnant, but it's great for any woman's body. So I buy mine from Mountain Rose Herbs. Yeah, any products from them are, they come with my recommendation. They have like the highest quality organic essential oils, teas, herbs. I drink it every morning. Sometimes I'll like take a big jug with me out iced, and you can add in a little bit of raw honey if it's like a little bit bitter to you. But that's something that I've become a really big fan of, and I plan to drink even post-pregnancy.
I love Mountain Rose herbs. So we kind of talked about like the topical side, but what do you think is like the biggest skincare myth right now?
So yeah, this question it's big. I'm excited that there's, you know, this movement happening around so-called the term natural products, and people are becoming more aware of what they're putting on their skin. But I still think, especially in the States, we have a lot of work to do in that segment. Not a lot is regulated. And so I think there's the answer is twofold. There's a couple of things. One, a lot of companies are coming out using these terms like natural, just to kind of hop on the bandwagon of like the indie beauty movement, and trying to, you know, look more small batch or more natural or organic. But it's really important for us as consumers to do our homework and look past those marketing claims, because you see it everywhere now. You can walk into Nordstrom and you'll see these big brands claiming to be natural, but it's super important that you turn around the other side of the label and really look into what's in the products. So there's a lot of confusion, I think. I think it's really good that people are becoming more aware, but I would encourage people to not just buy a product because of the marketing claims that they see someone telling you that this is good for you. And my other answer to that question on skincare myths would be that, you know, beautiful skin happens either, you know, just by having good genetics or just by using the right products. And I truly believe that it needs to be this effort to, you know, have a healthy body internally and also use great natural products topically on our skin too. And I think that's how we're going to win and have, you know, glowing, healthy skin. It needs to be an effort for both.
I love that you mentioned the whole like natural marketing ploys, basically, because that I think we see that in so many industries too, but especially now in skincare and beauty. So what are terms, one, that people should be looking for? And what are terms, like if they were to flip over and look at the ingredients, that we should be avoiding?
Yeah, so the one that I would almost, you know, the first one that comes to mind is just using the word natural. That term is kind of funny to me. And I think that like everything that we see is natural at the end of the day. And so I would look out for that. And even if, you know, a brand has all of these like certifications, like organic, still look into what's actually on, you know, the label. It's super important. And then there's resources online, and I could send some of these to you afterwards, where you can go and look into what's actually in the products, the ingredients, and it kind of gives you a rating for how safe it is or how toxic it might be. And then one other thing to look out for, like especially in your cleanser, if it's foaming, it's probably not a great product. It probably has like sulfates in it. If it has little beads in it, probably not great either. We tend to be really harsh with our skin. And so any ingredients that are going to be, you know, stripping the skin of its natural oils, you really want to avoid. And then you've probably heard terms like parabens and PEGs. If you see any of those, like don't buy the products. Because there's a lot of, you know, a product can say, this has seaweed in it, and you look at the, you know, the back of the label, and it's maybe like the last ingredient on, you know, it, in the product. And so you'll see too, the way that you can read labels well is the first ingredients or at the beginning of a label are going to be like the highest concentration of what's in that product. And so if a product says like, you know, made with frankincense, look at what, you know, what order it's in. And if it's the last ingredient, it probably doesn't have a ton of frankincense in it. So, and I know it can be kind of overwhelming and confusing, but like I said, there are a lot of resources. I'll send you some websites afterwards that you really can, as a consumer, do your research and kind of look past some of those main marketing claims.
That's so interesting. I never knew that they organized it by the highest concentrates. That's really good to know. And we'll link all of the different resources to websites in the show notes too, so people can check it out. So I completely agree with you. I mean, it is totally somewhere to start from the inside out when it comes to our skincare. And I know from firsthand when I'm drinking lots of water, when I'm eating good foods, and I'm staying away from the cheese, my skin looks so much better. So are there any foods that you believe are must for achieving clear skin? And are there any to avoid outside of dairy, like altogether?
Yeah, the first thing that comes to mind is that hydration is so important. So getting enough water is really key, even during the winter when you might not feel as thirsty as we do, you know, in the summer. And you can also get water through fruits and vegetables too. So especially if you're, you know, prone to breaking out, detoxifying fruits like watermelon and like throwing some lemon in your water can be really amazing. And then vegetables like celery and cucumber can be amazing for clear skin too. And then, like I said, kind of in the beginning, like the two no-nos are like dairy, sugar, and maybe gluten for you if that's something that you're sensitive to. Those would be my main categories.
Is there a way to see if we're sensitive to gluten? Like, is there, like, would it be good to do an elimination diet and eliminate gluten and see how that affects your skin?
Absolutely. And that's some of the work that I was doing, you know, in the beginning. And like I said, working with someone who can kind of help you along and figure those things out can be really key. But yeah, just kind of seeing what's happening in your own body. If you do think that there might be a culprit, like gluten, just taking it out of your diet for a couple of weeks and seeing if things sort of normalize with your digestion and in your body, that can be a great way. There's other awesome diets out there like the GAPS diet, which I really recommend if you are struggling.
Can you share a little bit about that one?
The GAPS diet's awesome. I actually haven't followed it for a few years, but I know a lot of people have found success in it. And I have adopted a lot of its philosophies just into my normal habits of how I eat now. So there's certain specific things on there that I can't really think of at the top of my head right now, but I think there's certain nuts and things to avoid, like healthy foods that you wouldn't necessarily know might be causing you issues. But in general, it does focus a little bit more on like high protein, less refined carbs and gluten. And it's amazing, you know, when you follow something like that, that like the mental benefits they receive as well. And just like the clarity of mind, like that's something that I found too when I'm following a diet like that is just overall wellness. It's incredible. You see it in your skin, you see it in your digestion, you see it in your hormones, and it's can be really amazing. And then, you know, something else that my husband and I started doing a couple years ago, I'm not doing it now being pregnant, but is we do like intermittent fasting. And that has been amazing too, because I think, you know, food has become so accessible to us in, you know, modern day America, and we're always snacking and we might be like stress eating, but we can always have food whenever we need it. And so we've become prone to just eating when we're bored or eating when we feel like it or socially eating. And there's not really a lot of discipline. And I think that that's really wreaking havoc on our overall health and our bodies. And so the intermittent fasting has been incredible and it's pretty easy to follow. You can just follow like a 16-8 hour rule. So what we do is we eat like an early dinner, like 5, and you can like have water after that, but nothing else. So that's like your last meal of the day. And then we'll wait until like 11 or noon the following day to break the fast. And that's been like the benefits of that have been endless for us. Like we've never felt healthier. So that's been something really cool and a lot easier to follow than you would imagine. I think a lot of people get intimidated when they hear the word fasting. But truly, like that has been one of like the best things that we've done for our health when it comes to eating and just the discipline of eating and eating the right things. And I know my husband's seen like so many amazing benefits, and I have too, especially in my skin and just balance in my body.
Yeah, I love intermittent fasting. I was very resistant to it at first because my fiance was doing it and decided to do it. And I'm like, wait, but I want to eat breakfast. Does this mean you're not going to be cooking me breakfast anymore? But since I've been doing it, I totally understand how you feel. Like you don't have as much like fatigue or brain fog in the morning. And when you eat, you don't feel as like heavy and weighed down. I really enjoy doing it. And I think I had a guest on the show, Caitlin Parsons. She's a certified holistic health coach. And she said, you know, like we're so prone to just eating because we're supposed to eat breakfast or we're supposed to eat lunch. But like really what we should be doing is listening to our hunger cues and our body and eating when we like intuitively feel like we should be eating, not like when we're supposed to eat because society says so or because we're bored, like you said. So I love that you will used to do intermittent fasting. Do you think you'll start doing it again when you are done being pregnant?
Yeah, definitely. I'll pick it up when I'm done being pregnant. I love it, and I'm like totally preaching it to all my friends and stuff, just because it's been so powerful in our lives.
So I'm curious, can you walk us through your morning and nighttime skincare routine?
Yeah, I'll walk you through the lazy routine and then the when I'm being good routine. You know, like we were talking about earlier, there's only a few steps that you really need in your skincare routine. But it really is about habit. And, you know, I talk to a lot of women about their skin And especially if they don't have skin problems, they don't really know where to start. And they'll tell me things like, I sleep in my makeup and how do I cleanse my face? Just like really basic things. And I've written quite a few blog posts about this just on my website that you can go check out just about like proper cleansing. And so at night, I'll start there. Always first step is taking off makeup or sunscreen or whatever I have on from the day. And especially if you're out and about, there's so many things that we're exposed to that, you know, attach to our skin and the grime from the day. And so first just taking the face off. And I always do this with like a really gentle facial towel that I just wet under warm water. And so that's always my first step. And that's really important because I think a lot of people just pick up their cleanser and start to work it into their face without first doing sort of like a initial cleanse with a towel. And so that's something that I've been doing for years and it's been really powerful in my skincare routine. So, and if you want to, you can kind of use a little bit warmer water to wet the towel. And so to kind of do like a mini little facial steam, which is really nice and luxurious. And then from there, I use my cleanser and then I take it off with another fresh, like warm, damp towel as well. And when I talk about, you know, using the facial towels, it sounds like a little bit of a commitment, but really when it becomes habit, it's just something that you do and just becomes part of your laundry routine. And it's really going to help you sort of get that deep cleanse and just make sure everything is off before you do the next steps. Because if you're just splashing your water with if you're just splashing your face with water and then putting on the cleanser, you're probably not getting, you know, all of your makeup off. And so that first step of cleansing is super important. And then if I'm lazy, I might skip the toner, but I love a toner just because it really does balance your skin's pH levels and it's refreshing and you get, like in our toner, you get some of the aromatherapeutic benefits as well. So ours has like lavender and rose in it too. So it's really soothing to the skin. And it also, ours is hydrating. So it preps the skin for moisture. It gives you that little extra boost of hydration. And then from there, it's really just about hydration. So I use my moisturizer and our eye butter. And our line is sort of multi-use. So there's a couple products in the line that you can mix together. So for instance, if my skin is feeling a little bit more on the dry end, our moisturizer is technically oil-free. And so I'll mix in a little bit of the eye butter just to give my skin and overall sort of boost of hydration. And those are sort of the steps. If I'm feeling like I have more time or I want to give my skin a little bit more self-care, I'm not being lazy, I'll add in a serum, which I can recommend one. We don't have one in our line. And then I'll do like a mask as well. And ideally a mask is great, like at least once a week. I probably do one maybe once every couple weeks. And there's all sorts of different masks out there. The one that we have, like a special edition one going right now, I think you've used it, the matcha honey mask, is super hydrating, but there's other ones out there that can help. You know, if you are feeling like a breakout coming on, it can kind of help like normalize oil production. So that's my nightly routine. And then in the morning, I simplify it even more. I don't feel like my skin needs much of a cleanse in the morning. So I'm usually not cleansing unless it is, you know, like a really humid day or I'm on vacation and I like just got off a plane or something and I feel like I need an extra cleanse. But really, I usually just moisturize in the morning. I feel like for me personally, that's what my skin needs. So the sandalwood cream and the eye butter, and then I'm ready to rock. You know, I put on my makeup and sunscreen and all that good stuff. So those are sort of my steps. But if you're feeling like even that is kind of overwhelming, biggest thing is like never skip on taking your makeup off at night. Like don't skip on that. Like even if it's just taking your makeup off, like if that's the only thing that you do, like do that. And then never skip on moisturizer morning and night. Like that's really going to keep your skin youthful and looking fresh. And we all need a a little bit of extra hydration in our skin. It doesn't have to be crazy. But those are the two things that I would never skip on.
Yeah. And I love your sandalwood cream because even though it is a moisturizer, it doesn't feel like it's super heavy. And sometimes I feel like it almost even like normalizes the oil in my skin too, which is really cool. I talked to my mom because my mom has oily skin as well. And she's like, I'll never put moisturizer on. I won't put any like rose hips oil or anything like that because she's like so nervous about her skin looking oilier. And I'm like trying to help change the narrative for her because moisturizing is so important. So can you share a little bit why, like, even if you have oily skin, it's important to moisturize?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a lot of people's fear. And I 100% get that too, having more oily skin. Now, I'll preface this with our sandalwood cream. It has jojoba oil in it, which is technically a true wax, but it's very similar to the oil that our skin naturally produces. So that's kind of what you're feeling, you know, when you're using the sandalwood cream. It's more of like that mattifying effect and like normalizing effect. And so for someone like your mom or someone who's scared of, you know, using a moisturizer on their skin because they think it's going to break them out, it's probably just that they need to find the right moisturizer. And there can be so many amazing ingredients that you can add into your skin that can really benefit from, you know, anti-aging benefits to, you know, normalizing oil production. So I would really encourage people to not shy away from finding the right moisturizer for them. Now, I would totally encourage someone who has oily skin to not be using straight up, you know, like olive oil or rosehip seed oil or even coconut oil on their face, because that's probably not the best solution for them. But something that is a little bit more balancing can be super powerful. And, you know, obviously I'm all about skincare, but really it can be so fun. And there's so many ingredients out there that can really improve the overall health of your skin. So I would encourage people like your mom to not shy away from, you know, using and finding the right products.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. So are there any miracle ingredients to achieving youthful and radiant skin, either in your products or just in general?
Yeah, I mean, in general, using plants. Like, that's my very short answer. Plants are so powerful. So whether you're using my line or someone else's, make sure that it's like botanically based. And you can see me smiling big right now because I'm so passionate about this. Plants are really, really powerful. And I think that people don't even realize how diverse they can be. Like, a single plant can have a bunch of different benefits and uses. And so that's really cool. Like, finding products that, you know, people who are using ingredients that are grown from the earth, you know, at the end of the day, that's really what our line is about. And a lot of these indie brands are doing the same thing. So finding products that are using plant-based ingredients is the best way to go. Some of my favorites, you'll see, as far as like oils go, we use coconut oil, a lot of our products. It's not too heavy. It's really balancing. Even for someone who might have like acne prone skin, it's usually pretty safe if it's like in the cleanser. And so we use it in our cleanser. We use a lot of aloe vera, which is really healing for the skin. I love frankincense, which is in our body oil. You can add it into like a drop into like a big jar of your moisturizer. That can be awesome for a ton of different things, but balancing oil, acne, fine lines. I love lavender. It's just very soothing and healing for the skin. When it comes to other skin concerns like hyperpigmentation, carrot seed oil can be incredible as well. So that's in our eye butter. And then, you know, things like rose, geranium, jojoba. There's all these ingredients out there that we use in our line, and a lot of other lines are using too, that are just so healing and powerful for the skin. And so in using your skincare line, just make sure that it's plant-based, because that's where you're going to achieve the best results.
Yeah, I did an essential oils course last year, and it was all about the different healing properties on like a physical and topical level to like a spiritual level of all of these different plants. And so it was really cool to see like lavender can be used for scars and for like healing cuts and stuff like that. And just to like learn about plants on that deeper level. And so having that understanding of like, okay, I could use this topically for this thing or for this thing or for this thing. So it's really cool. I'm excited to try the cocoa eye butter with the carrot seed too. Cause so carrot seed, it's, you said hyperpigmentation. Is it also good for brightening?
Yeah. So it's just an overall lightening ingredient for the skin. There's other things like sage and turmeric, which can also be great as well. Thyme is another one. All of those are in our sandalwood cream. And actually sandalwood can also be great for hyperpigmentation as well.
That's awesome. So going back to your skincare routine, and just, I'm kind of curious, like if you were to do that routine with the mask, like once a week, is that enough to not have to go get facials, or do you recommend also getting treatments?
I definitely recommend also getting facials. There, you're going to get, you know, a deeper cleanse and exfoliation when you go and get a facial. And they're going to have tools that you probably don't at home. And so if you can get a facial even every couple months, I definitely recommend that for just the overall health of your skin. And finding someone too who has more of a holistic approach can be really awesome, especially if you're trying to adopt that into more of your daily skincare routine as well. So finding someone who is, you know, using plant-based products and who kind of has the same sort of philosophies can be really awesome. And then there's certain treatments that you can get in getting a facial, like microdermabrasion, that can just give you a little bit more of that deeper exfoliation that you don't need every single day or every single week, but it's awesome just for that deeper sort of cleansing and exfoliation on just like a bi-monthly basis can be awesome.
Yeah, I love microdermabrasion. So for those of us that do have acne or maybe still have acne scars and hyperpigmentation, myself, where would you say to start with products? Like what is the easiest way to start healing anything from past acne or current acne?
I mean, I'm going to always take a more gentle long-term solution approach instead of like an overnight, you know, treatment like a laser. Just because our skin, you know, it's really important to take care of it and not damage it. And so it might be tempting to kind of try and go out and get some of these, you know, overnight fixes, but I would really encourage people to try things topically first. So what I love for like, you know, skin lightening, like hyperpigmentation, is like a carrot seed oil or frankincense. And you can take like, for instance, a jar of our eye butter and just add in like a drop or two, and that's enough. I think, I won't get on my soapbox, but I think we're sort of overdoing it in, with essential oils right now, especially with like a lot of the big brands that are coming out. You know, essential oils are very powerful. But with that, they can kind of be dangerous too. And so just a little bit goes a long way. But I started actually, this was years ago. I was really bad about wearing sunscreen and sunglasses. And I started seeing hyperpigmentation pop up like out of nowhere around my eyes. And this is when I was kind of developing my line. And it's the reason why our cocoa eye butter has carrot seed oil in it, actually. And just like a tiny bit of carrot seed oil in like, either you can put it in a straight up oil. I would recommend putting it in more of like a cream based solution, like our eye butter. If you need a little bit more, if, you know, if it's really dark, that can lighten things within, you know, like a month or two. Like it really is pretty amazing. So I would recommend that. And then for acne scarring, there are some, you know, topical plant-based solutions that you can use, like a sandalwood. Frankincense can be really great too. But if the scarring's really deep, which I've totally been there, I had some scarring post my, you know, cystic acne journey, microneedling can be really amazing. So if you're not familiar with this, it is a treatment where, think of microdermabrasion, but on a more intense level. It's basically creating little micro injuries to your skin. And what it does is it, forces the body to, regrow collagen in the skin. And so it sort of, like fills in the little, you know, spots like that you might have from scarring. And that was really cool for me. I did a series of those treatments, and it can be awesome to do even once or twice a year, just for if you do have fine lines too. It can kind of just keep your skin smooth, and it's a really natural treatment as well. So I'm a big fan of that.
I'm going to have to check that out. I've never done microneedling before. I actually only thought that, well, I guess it would be microblading with the eyebrows, right? Yeah, a little different. So then let's talk about like if someone actually has a pimple, like how do we prevent it from like growing, getting full, spreading, or, you know, just how do we get rid of that stuff?
Yeah. For sure. And by the way, I still get pimples. So it's a journey, especially when you have oily skin. I'm just better about them now. The biggest thing is, you know, when you start to feel one coming on, there's certain things you can do, like maybe a little bit of like a spot treatment that's oil-free to kind of dry out the area a little bit might help, but I wouldn't do that like all over your face to like dry out your face. Just maybe like the area where you feel the pimple coming on, that can really help. And then to just leave it alone. And I know this is super hard for people, but to not pick at it, to not try and, you know, pop it prematurely, because that's where like the scarring is going to happen. And then when it is, you know, ready to be popped, you can kind of help it along a little bit. But yeah, like definitely wash your hands afterwards so things don't spread or anything. And then as far as like healing it, just making sure you're using really gentle products on the pimple afterwards, so to prevent like redness or scarring or even hyperpigmentation that can come from acne.
And do you ice? Do you ice your face ever?
I used to when I was having really bad breakouts, so more of like the cystic acne. But I don't anymore, but it can be really incredible. And I recommend it for people who might have more oily, acne-prone skin, or just even, you know, inflamed skin overall.
Yeah. What about inflamed skin, or like if people have a lot of redness or rosacea in their skin, how can they kind of normalize their skin tone?
I'm not an expert on like rosacea, but again, I would encourage really gentle soothing products. So things like very gentle plant-based oils and aloe vera can be really healing. And then keeping things hydrated. I know I probably sound like a broken record, but hydration's super key for all of us with all sorts of skin concerns. So yeah. And again, like working with a holistic practitioner to kind of normalize things and reduce flare-ups can be incredible.
I absolutely love aloe vera so much. And it's so funny. Quick story. My dad used to live in the Middle East, and they had all of these aloe vera plants all around because it was in the desert and nothing else grows there. And I remember walking one day with him in the sun, and he just like pulled off this giant piece of aloe vera, opened it up, and started like lathering it all over his face and his hair. And I was like, what are you doing? And I had no idea. And I put it all over myself, and I was like, this is so weird. And I actually just wrote a whole article about like why aloe vera is so healing for your skin, because it's like almost like a big cup of water on your face. I love it so much. So, you know, I teach yoga, and a lot of listeners have some form of a workout routine. What are the best practices with our skin when it comes to sweating?
Well, so if you're going to the gym a lot or working out a lot, the first thing that I would do is make sure that you're not working out in your makeup, or even if you're just using a sunscreen. So just doing like a quick, even if it's a wipe, you know, taking like a cleansing cloth to your face before you work out will be really key. Otherwise, you know, you're sweating in all of your makeup, and that's gross. So that would be my first tip. And then post-workout to cleansing as quick as you can right away. So not like going and working out and then going to get dinner and drinks with friends and just, you know, letting the sweat stay on your face. It's kind of defeating the purpose from, you know, the level of like the skin goes. Like if you're detoxifying your body by working out. And so basically just taking that off your face afterwards would be my other recommendation as well. And while you're working out too, you know, after you take off your makeup, before just putting on like a really great moisturizer can be awesome. Just so things don't get dried out.
Yeah. I always wonder why people wear makeup when they're working out, but you know, so what is your favorite skincare product then?
So I only have to pick one. I can pick three. Well, okay. So obviously I'm, you know, a skincare junkie and always trying out new formulas and cooking up concoctions and things. But currently, it's been super hot and humid here in San Diego. So a good toner is like a must during the summer months. So that's been sort of a staple for me this summer. And then I'm trying not to be too biased towards my own line. But I'm always going to be a fan of hydration. So our cocoa eye butter, which you get to try soon, is also just like a staple of mine. And I use it around the eyes, on the neck, more areas where I can be more dry, like around the forehead too. And then especially being pregnant right now, our body oil has been really amazing just for keeping my skin hydrated. And then we have frankincense, blue tansy, there's rosewood in it. And so there's a lot of amazing aromatherapeutic benefits too. So before I put it on, I kind of inhale it through my hands. And so it's sort of like it's like a relaxing experience using that. And I'm going to pick a fourth one that isn't, that isn't in my line. There's this brand called, iSun. And they're just like this small batch company based out of Colorado. And they have this amazing serum that I love using during the summer because it has a lot of the ingredients we've been talking about, actually. Aloe vera, jojoba oil, I believe. And there's, I think, carrot seed oil and maybe like a jasmine or something. It smells heavenly, but it keeps your skin nice. And there's like some lightening ingredients too. So during the summer, it like helps to avoid some of that hyperpigmentation and really soothe the skin. So that's another product that I'm loving lately. Oh, and I wanted to say too, I'm really into, sorry, I'm picking like seven products now. This is, I'm really into some like, facial tools right now. And we're going to be coming out with a couple later this fall. We're going to be coming out with these organic bamboo facial cloths, which I'm really excited about. And these coconut fiber dry brushes. But then in addition to that, I've really been into jade rolling as well. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's like a little mini workout for your face. It gets the blood flowing. It's good for the lymphatic system. And so those are sort of the skincare tools that I'm all about right now too.
My jade roller broke the other day. I'm so sad. It's such a bummer. So we've talked a lot about like oily skin, and I'm curious, because throughout the day, like my skin will get oilier. Is there a way to reduce the oil when you're like midway through your day, like at work or something, and you go into the bathroom and you're like, holy shit, my skin is so oily?
Taking a little like cotton pad to it, like a clean one, can be awesome. Just like blotting it a little bit. And then bringing a balancing toner with you during the day to just kind of that midday pick me up. Should be great for balancing the oil in your skin. So those would be the two things that I would take, you know, to work with me. Basically, those can be awesome. Those would be my two tips.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. I was thinking about that. I'm like, I should ask her that before we end this. So I'm just so stoked to have learned so much, and I think everyone that's listening is excited to simplify their routine and just bring it back to basics. So my last question is just, where can we find you?
Yeah, so you can find us at berlinskin.com, and then socially, we're really active on Instagram. So we're at berlin.skin.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Monica. I'm so grateful to have you on the podcast, and I'm so grateful for all of your thoughtful answers.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I learned a lot as well. So it was really fun.